All good evening.
Good
evening. And when Dave called me in the spring to ask if I'd be a part of this, I was humbled, I was grateful, I was excited all at the same time, and nothing's changed apart from perhaps getting more excited about this as the time has approached and seeing and hearing that so many were going to be here to be a part of it. I find it thrilling. I'm really thrilled to be here, to be with you, to be a part of this, and to see what the Lord would do this weekend right here in Sudbury. And I'm looking for big things this weekend, and I don't mean that in a dramatic sense or to sound over the top or to sound superficial, but in a real way that God Himself would do a work in our hearts this weekend, because that's the point of it, isn't it? If God doesn't move, if God doesn't act this weekend, then all we've had is just a bit of social time, and we can do that anywhere. So my prayer, my passion for this weekend is that God Himself would work in our hearts. Thanks, Dave. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. That's our theme verse for the weekend. That's what we've gathered this weekend to discuss, to consider, to think about. But that's not what we're going to be talking about tonight specifically. We're going to get there. That's the direction we're moving. That's where we want. That's the place we want to be, and we'll get there by Sunday morning. But we got a bit of a trek, a bit of a journey first. And what I want to say first off, right off the very top, is that tonight, as we're gathered here together, and it's a fun time, and there's excitement, there's a buzz in the air. I sense it as we're pulling into the parking lot. There, teens running around, young people excited, and the parking lot's full, and people haven't seen each other in some time, and it's a reunion. People are excited, and that's wonderful. That's what it's supposed to be. But on a serious note, there's a battle that rages. There's a conflict that is ruthless and it's relentless. You and I both are engaged in a fight. Each day, every moment of every day, a battle of ideas, a battle for our minds. The struggle is real and it's serious. But the problem is that too many, I'm going to say most, I'll go on a limb and say most people don't even recognize that there is a battle. They go through life not understanding, not acknowledging, not thinking about the conflict. And so with not realizing that a battle exists, they're losing already. But this weekend, I'm here to tell you is that it doesn't have to be that way. Indeed, it shouldn't be. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, your mind is a precious commodity. And this weekend, I want to challenge you to start thinking very carefully about your thoughts. Think carefully. Think seriously. And right at the outset of our time this weekend, each of you here, sitting in your chairs individually, have a decision to make. Are you simply going to go through the motions, enjoy the weekend, have fun with your friends, sit here listening, or at least looking like you're listening to the messages? Or are you willing to be challenged? Are you ready to be challenged? Are you willing to be made uncomfortable? To allow God's Holy Spirit to do a work in changing you and me as well? Are we willing? Are we willing to stop and think, consider? So that you can become the man, the woman God wants you to be. I know the room is filled with all types this weekend. And people are here. What brought you here is different than what brought the person beside you here, perhaps. Different motives, different reasons for being here. Some came to honestly listen to the Word of God and to be encouraged, to grow, to be challenged. Some are here for the social part of it. There's going to be friends here that you haven't seen in a while. That's okay. Some guys are here for the girls. And some girls are here for the guys. Right? I know that. Right? I know that. That's not a secret. All right? So we can say it. All right? As we know. All right? No one's hiding anything. And some are here perhaps because you're curious. You've heard a little bit of this Christianity thing, and you'd like to hear a little bit more. It's tweaked your interest. It's intrigued you perhaps. And so you're here. And there's some that if you're here, you don't know why. Now you're just here, right? Because it was a thing to do this weekend. It was an event. It was a place to be. You like to be where people are, and people are going to be here, so you're here. And you know what? That's okay too. I don't care why you're here. The point is you're here. And now you have a decision to make. A choice to stop and consider in the quietness of your own heart. Where are you going to go from here? What this weekend is going to be for you. What you're going to allow it to be. Because God is willing. The Lord Jesus Christ is willing and wanting to make a real change, a relevant change, an eternal change. Are you willing? You take a look at the schedule that's posted up, as Dave mentioned, throughout different places in the chapel. And there's a lot of fun time planned throughout the schedule and throughout our time, particularly tomorrow. And there's downtime, there's socializing time. And so what we're asking for is sort of was alluded to in the opening, is that during these sessions, while we're seated here listening to the Word of God, that we do just that, that we listen. As tempting as it is perhaps to chat with the one beside you, I'm asking not to do that. Not because it's going to insult me. It's got very little to do with me. It's for you. And second of that, is there anyone here expecting an emergency phone call? Something urgent? Anyone here? Something you need? You? Okay. Everyone else, turn off your cell phones. All right, I know you got them. Turn them off. All right, turn them off. There's only one hand that went up, so the rest of you can turn them off. All right? You can turn yours to vibrate. Because inevitably, every time we meet, there's a cell phone. It's just part of our culture, right? It's part of our times. Sunday morning, you know, the message, cell phone goes off, right? It happens. I know it's accidental, but from this point on, it's not going to be accidental, right? Because you've been forewarned. All right, turn them off. You had your chance to put up your hand. You didn't. So now turn them off. We're here to listen. We're here to pay attention. We're here to think. God wants you to think. He gave you your mind. He wants us to use it, contrary to what the popular opinion would be about Christianity. God wants us to be a thinking people. And so ask yourself, what am I doing here? Really? Why'd I come? I'm not asking for the answer. You need to answer that for yourself. Why are you here? What do you want to get out of this weekend? Do you have any idea at all? Have you thought about that at all? Perhaps not. That's okay. But now's the time. Think. Ask yourself. It's okay. Perhaps some have never thought seriously about these things. Perhaps some of you have never thought seriously about anything. But tonight we want to begin. We want to start. Think serious thoughts about life, about what God would have to say to us. Because he speaks to us individually, one-on-one. Are you listening? Will you hear this weekend? Most of you, I'm going to assume, are from Christian homes. Perhaps what you're going to hear this weekend is old news, right? You've heard it before. You've read this several times. Heard it all before. Maybe it's even a little boring. Old hat. It's familiar. Are you going to listen this weekend? Are you prepared to listen this weekend? Are you willing to act on what you hear? That's a challenge right now, to decide that. Not to stand up, not to put up your hand, not to yell it out, not to tell me, not to tell the one beside you. In your heart, between you and God himself, to decide what this weekend's going to be. Is it going to be just another social event? Just another rally? Just another conference? Just another high? And then come Monday morning, it's back to the old life, back to the old self, back to the old things. No one wants that to happen. I don't. None of the organizers do. The ones who brought you here don't want that to happen. God himself doesn't want that to happen. He wants to effect a real change, a lasting change in all of us. So are we ready? The choice is ours to make as we sit here tonight at the very outset of our time together. I'm excited for this weekend. Are you? God's going to do a work if you allow him to, in your heart. The choice is yours. Over the next couple of days, we're going to be peering into the mind, our minds, now, through the lens of Scripture, with the goal of discovering what God has to say, what God would teach us concerning these things. An overview of the sessions tonight, we're going to identify the problem. Indeed, there's a problem. We want to look at that, consider it, and know what it is. We all want to start off on the same level here, on the same footing, and move on from here. So tonight, we identify the problem. Tomorrow morning, we're going to examine the enemy. In our third session, we're going to evaluate our position in the battle. Tomorrow evening, we're going to get equipped for combat. And then Sunday morning, we'll end with the evidence of the transformation, the victory, and how to achieve it. The Bible has a whole lot to say about our minds, more than perhaps we realize. A lot to say about our thoughts. And if we're going to take our Christian life seriously, it's absolutely critical that we take this seriously. If we're going to behave right, we have to learn to think right. So let's begin with an honest appraisal. Again, we're thinking seriously. Who here, and don't raise your hand, that's not the point, right? Who here has never had any difficulty with their thought life? Right? Just think about that. Never had a problem with anything you've ever thought. Anyone here ever wanted something someone else had? Anyone here ever experienced a moment of pride? Anyone here ever judge someone else? Look down upon someone, perhaps because for whatever reason, it doesn't really matter, the way they look, the family they're from, the way they dress, the way they talk. Anyone ever here been hypocritical in the way they think? Say one thing, but thinking something else. Has anyone here ever wished for something bad to happen to someone else? Have you ever looked lustfully at someone else? Has anyone here ever had a selfish thought? If you can answer yes to any of these, and I'd suggest, I would submit to you that if we're honest, it's probably going to be yes to most, if not all, of those questions. If you can answer yes, then we'll have to admit that there's a problem. There's a problem. Why do I have these thoughts? Why is there a battle? Why the problem? Why the difficulty? Why the struggle? Why is it the way it is? Why is it so hard to clean up my mind, to get it right? Why is that like that? So we begin tonight with the question, what happened anyway? What happened? We have to come to terms with the fact that a problem does indeed exist, and I think we've established that, if we're honest with ourselves, easy to recognize that there's a problem. Things aren't the way they should be. So the next question is why that is. So let's look at the origin of the problem. And we begin by a familiar chapter, the very first book of the Bible. We want to start with the problem, the very first problem. Let's go to the beginning. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If not, just listen. We won't be reading a lot of verses, just a few here. Genesis chapter 3, we'll start at verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die." The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together. They made themselves loin coverings. And then they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. This portion here, this chapter here, it recalls the account of Satan's first campaign against humanity. Unfortunately, it was highly successful, wasn't it? And here we get a glimpse of how the enemy operates, and that is critical if we're going to succeed ourselves. important to know how the enemy works if we're going to know how to defeat that enemy. So let's take a look here at what went wrong. We're told that the serpent was more crafty, was more sneaky, more cunning than any other creature. He approaches Eve and strikes up a conversation with her. He poses one question, a single question, one so subtle, filled with deadly venom, as we'll see here. A simple question: did God really say? Did he really say? In verse 4, he swiftly moves from doubt to openly defying the word of God by declaring, "You will not die." And Eve starts mulling over what Satan suggested. She starts thinking about that, working in her mind. She buys into it, reaches out, takes hold of the fruit, takes the bite, and gives it to her husband. He does the same. Satan was messing with her mind. And he's been doing the same ever since to each and every one of us. His tactics haven't changed. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ." See, Paul was concerned for the believers in Corinth because he knew the way of the enemy. He knew how Satan operates. He knew he was crafty. He deceived Eve. And he seeks to deceive us all, messing with our minds. We live in an age where we need to guard our minds. We need to be aware that there is a problem, that there is a battle. Recognize that it's real and that it affects you. Well, here we know the rest of the story. They immediately realize their offense. God confronts them. We see what Adam did. He blames his wife. Or does he? I always read this and thought, well, you know, God, Adam blamed his wife. And, you know, that's sort of the typical thing, right? But did he really? I don't know. Because what does he hear? What does he say here? The man said, this is down in verse 12. The man said, this is to God he's talking, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate." Maybe on one level he's blaming his wife. But who's he ultimately pointing the finger at? He has the audacity, the boldness to look into the face of God and say, "You gave her to me. She made me eat. God, it's your fault. If you didn't give her to me, I wouldn't be in this mess." What a downward spiral. Eve blames the snake. "The serpent, he tricked me." Who talks to snakes? Really now? She's talking to a snake. Does she never stop and ask herself? Be alert, right? If we learn nothing else from this weekend, be alert. She's talking to a snake. So Adam and Eve, they blew it for everyone. All right, we read, "Through one transgression, there resulted condemnation to all men." One act of disobedience, one sin, blew it for us all. Therein lies the problem. We've inherited a sinful nature. a rebellious nature, one of defiance. Adam may have started it. We carry on. It runs through our DNA. It's real for every one of us. And it's a problem for every one of us. That's the origin. That's where it started. One act plunged the entire human race into a desperate, depraved condition. In Romans 1, Paul outlines the downward spiral of mankind ever since then. 1:21, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. That's the theme this weekend. And we're going to be going back to it over and over again. Our thoughts matter. There's a battle for your mind. Satan would attack your mind. He will mess with it. In verse 20, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. And that's a shocking, staggering verse when we consider that. God will give you what you want. You want to turn your back on God? Walk away from him? He'll let you do it. He'll let you do it. It's critical that we understand because we never want to lose the sense of our sinfulness. We have to begin there. We have to understand that. Particularly in this world, the age in which we live, which minimizes all of that thinking. God said there's a problem. God says we're sinful. That we have that in our nature. And as you get a little older and have children of your own, you will see that very, very early in their little young lives. They're just little sinners. Cute, yeah. But sinners. Sinful in the eyes of God. We need to understand that. If we think that Genesis 3 is merely an allegory or a myth or symbolic, we will never understand just how offensive we are to God. We'll never get to the root of the problem. It's critical we understand that it is history, it is fact, it happened. Satan is real. Adam and Eve are real. They really sinned against a real God. And it's a real problem for you and I today. I want to draw your attention to the fact that before they took that bite, I don't know if it was an apple or a pear or a pomegranate. I don't know. I don't care. All right? It doesn't say. It doesn't matter. The fact is, it was a fruit and they ate it. And it's messed us up ever since. But before they took that bite, there was a thought process. A thought process that occurred. Before they committed the sinful act, they had a sinful thought. And it's the same process that occurs with us today. And we'll be talking much about that this weekend. Before the sinful act, there's a sinful thought. Your mind matters. Your thoughts matter. Has God really said? Has he really said? How many ways does Satan ask that question of us yet today? The same question posed in different ways, but the same essence. Has God really said that? Really, no. It's a subtle question, filled with devious, destructive motives. Satan begins. Here's the formula. Begins with deception. As God really said, plant that seed. It leads to doubt. And doubt will lead to defiance. God has not. You will surely not die. Defiance. And Adam, God, you gave her to me. Defiance. Defiance, where did that lead to? Death. The downward spiral. Death. Separation from a holy God. Booted out of the garden. Problems for humanity ever since. Every single one of us infected with the same disease. Don't be deceived. God doesn't want you to be deceived. He wants you to be alert. He wants you to use your minds to think critically, carefully, scripturally. Know there's a problem. Understand it. Admit it. Own up to it. Be alert. Understand the times in which we live. What's going on around you? The mindset of the day. We'll be looking at that more tomorrow. Think. Tonight, think. Decide what this weekend is going to be. Just another one? Just another conference? Just another rally? Are you going to allow God to do His work in your hearts, to change your minds for His purposes? What's it going to be? That's your decision to make. Leave those thoughts with you as we carry on tomorrow. I have a survey. I'm going to ask that you partake of this. It's simple. It'll take you just a few minutes. Ask that you do it tonight and turn it back in, but that'll be easier then these won't be left crumpled up on the floor and random picking them up and whatnot, right? So if these can be just passed around, and like I said, it's one page, simple questions, answer them seriously, individually, thoughtfully. And you can return them into the box. Don't put it's anonymous. No name on it, all right? There's no name. No.